So here's Paul, the founder of the church in the Roman Empire, the founder of the church of the Gentiles, the founder of the church that we are part of the tradition of. Part of the tradition of? I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but you know what I'm saying. We call ourselves sometimes Pauline Christians. Paul's tradition, Paul's letters to the churches, Paul's guidance, Paul's service are an example for all of us. And yet he says, I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church first. And who of us cannot say that we have not done things which make us unworthy of this great and glorious blessing of God that He would send His Son to die for us? We've all done things we shouldn't have. We've all done things that weren't so great. We've all done things that hurt people. We've all done things that denied our faith. At times we have all failed and fallen and not been perfect. Any perfect people here? I don't think so. No. No perfect people in church. Because if we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Christ's sacrifice for us. If we were perfect, we wouldn't ever sin. We would never question. We would never hesitate. We would never worry. We would never wonder. We wouldn't ever not know. And who of us can say that? But God chooses the least to do His work. He chose David to be king over Israel. David, the least son of the least tribe, was picked, even though he was the least likely. He was sent against the biggest, the strongest, the meanest, the baddest person that the enemy had. And even though the king offered him his armor, he said, "Nah, I'll take my sling and my faith, and I'll go do God's work." Amen. Amen. Paul took his faith and his words, and he went to do God's work. He went to found churches everywhere he could, whether it was in Corinth or Rome or anywhere where people wanted to hear the message, anywhere where people gathered together, anywhere where young folks needed to hear the story. He took the church to them. He didn't wait for them to come to Him. He didn't sit home and say, "Oh, I have a message and people will beat a path to my door." No, no, no. He went looking for people to preach to. He went looking for people who did not believe. He went looking for people who were not ready. He went looking for people who did not understand. He went looking for people who needed God. It wasn't the people who already knew God that needed Paul or needed to hear His message. It was the people who didn't know God who needed to hear His message. We then inherit that same tradition. We don't need to worry about the people who already know God. They've heard that message. We need to worry about the people who need to hear the message, who haven't heard the message, who don't know God the way we do, who don't see things the way we do or understand things the way we do, haven't felt the blessing the way we have, haven't seen His miraculous power work in the world the way we have. We need to share that with those in need. And seldom do they beat a path to the door. We need to beat a path to them. We need to follow Paul's example and go where people are hurting and in need. Go where people are struggling and suffering. Go where people are. And we, the least of the churches in Tallahassee, could make miraculous things happen. Because God always picks the least to do His will. He doesn't pick the strong and the powerful. We already know they can do great things. He picks the little ones, the simple ones, the not so great, the not so powerful, the not so wonderful. And he sends them into the world with a power and a truth beyond anything the world has. The world sometimes doesn't hear. Is that their fault? No. It's not their fault. Paul was doing God's work. He was taking the word into the world. Some people didn't hear him. Some people heard him and got it wrong. Some people heard him and tried to get it right, but struggled. So he went back. He wrote letters. He sent friends and fellow travelers and other students and other apostles to those churches and did whatever he could to help them along their way. Paul is a wonderful example to us. He makes it simple and straightforward. The good news that I proclaim to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. What better news could we have? It wouldn't matter if the economy turned around, if Christ hadn't died for our sins, we'd still be in trouble. It wouldn't matter if you were rich and famous, if Christ hasn't died for your sins. All of that means nothing when you die. It doesn't matter what the world has for us, what the world does to us. It matters what we do for the world. Because when we do things for others, for people, no matter how small, no matter how little, no matter how insignificant, we're doing them for God. If God can take an acorn and make an oak tree, or a mustard seed and make a mustard tree, I've never seen a mustard tree, so I don't know what they look like, but, you know, he can take a seed and make a plant. I mean, I can plant a seed. I can't make it grow. If you saw my garden last year, you could tell that. We had some bell peppers that got about this big. They tasted okay, but they were big. I couldn't make them grow. Only he can make them grow. Sometimes it is the least word, the least thing, the least likely person that changes the world. That changes things, that turns out to be the one that does well when you think that he or she is the least likely to do anything in the world. Probably when people saw Abraham Lincoln growing up gangly, a little too long of arm and leg for, you know, most things. He'd been a great basketball player, but I don't think they had basketball back then. They didn't think he would be a great person. Maybe even when he got into politics and got elected to office, you know, they thought he was okay, but they didn't think he'd be great. God picks people who are unlikely. I didn't vote for the president in the primary because I didn't think he had a shot. Shows you what I know. When we look at things from the perspective of the world, we see worldly things. It's only when we are willing to stop and listen to what God asks, to what God wants, to what God is intending for us, that we begin to understand that it doesn't matter how big you are or how little. It doesn't matter how strong you are or how weak. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. It matters whether you are God's or not. Because he has all the power. He has all the money. He has all the world in his hand. He made it. He can take it. It's his. We're here but for a fraction of the time that the world will exist, and that's merely a fraction of the time that the universe will exist, and that's merely a fraction of the blink of an eye of God, and yet we matter to him. He cares about us. He sent his son. He gave us a chance. Not worthy, We didn't earn it. We can't afford it. But he gives us a chance anyway. We don't deserve it. Neither did Paul. He persecuted the church. He killed Christians because they weren't righteous enough for him. Until Christ appeared to him and said, "Well, wait a minute. I want you to serve me." And he answered that call. The least likely person to found a church. Founded churches all over the world. All over the known world at the time. Sailed the seas. Survived shipwrecks. Traveled around parts of the country that were difficult at least. And what are we willing to do? Are we willing to travel? Are we willing to serve? Are we willing to go out? Are we willing to help? Are we willing to suffer for our God? Sometimes. Sometimes. When we break the bread, drink the wine, we say we are taking Jesus' body and blood into ourselves, that it may take hold and grow like a seed to transform us from the pitiful earthly human beings that we are into the grand and glorious spiritual beings that we can be with His Spirit in us. I ask you to think about that when you take communion today. To think about that seed growing inside of you, strengthening you, empowering you, reinforcing you. Rely on it. Feed it. Feed it the good word. Feed it the good deed. Feed it into your life so that it transforms your life to make you the person that you can be, that you could be, that you should be, that we all should be. Body and blood of Christ, broken for you, shed for you, to transform you and me and each of us. New people, new life. Wondrous, joyous, peaceful. At one with God, filled with His Spirit, knowing His presence and His mind in our mind. What a wonderful thing. We the least can be filled with the greatest.